I knew I also needed to get away from home to go to college. And so I left Alabama and moved to Los Angeles to attend USC. And that is what eventually happened. We ended up going to court, and I sued for legal custody, and I won. Taking responsibility for her really helped me get my life in order.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say that I saved Adrian from our mother, but man, she really saved me.
Yeah.
Because she made me get my priorities straight. Wednesday, May 16th, 2001, about 9 p.m., when we got that news, because that changed our lives forever. You know, it's okay to have a pity party. It's okay to have a bad day or whatever. It's fine. But man, don't overstay your welcome at the pity party, yeah. Okay? Don't, because it doesn't serve anyone, and it certainly doesn't help you. Don't worry about what other people think. It doesn't matter.
Hi, and welcome to the 151st episode of the I Love Success podcast. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for being part of our mission. Thank you for leading with the heart and having the courage to go out in the world and live a full life. Thank you for being kind. Thank you for being open. And thank you for being you. I could never do this without you and all the incredible people that share so open-heartedly on the show. The journey continues, and as you know by now, our mission is to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. My job is to listen, ask the right questions, and challenge the status quo. This week's guest is an amazing human being. Her name is Andrea Wilson Woods, and she just released her first book, Better Off Bald, A Life in 147 Days, where she shares the story of her sister, Adrienne Wilson, a depressed suicidal teenager, until the day she receives a diagnosis of stage 4 liver cancer. Facing the fight of her life, Adrienne discovers how much she wants to live, makes every moment count. And as she lay dying, Adrienne teaches her sister and our guest, Andrea, how to live. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to sit here with you today and kind of share you and your sister's journey. So can you just kind of talk a little bit about your relationship with your sister, like how that evolved and yeah.
So my sister technically was my half-sister. I did not think of her that way, but just so people understand a little bit. Her father died before she was born. He died in a car accident, and so we have the same mother, different fathers. Adrian was born when I was 14 years old, so there was a big age gap. And at that point, it was just my mom and Adrian and I. My brother lived with my dad across the country. And I was the first person to hold Adrian after she was born. I mean, I was there for every little thing, the first word, the walk, you name it. And so, you know, she was just attached to my hip all through high school. And I mean, I remember her standing up in a chair, actually, my high school graduation, and calling, you know, she didn't call my name. She said, Sissy, always said Sissy, yeah. And screaming Sissy. I mean, it was just so sweet. And so we were very close. And actually, the hardest thing to do was to leave home to go away to college was leaving her, because I knew that things would probably not go very well when I left home, because I knew my mother wasn't very stable. But I knew I also needed to get away from home to go to college. And so I left Alabama and moved to Los Angeles to attend USC.
What happened after that?
Well, I graduated from USC. And then shortly after that, Adrian came to visit me for Christmas in 1994. It was supposed to be just a two-week stay. The day after Christmas, my mother called and said she didn't want to be a mother anymore. And I did not put it together at the time. It actually didn't occur to me until years later, but it was 3 days before my mother's 50th birthday. Yeah. So I don't know if it was just a combination of fatigue, midlife crisis. Also, she wasn't able to hold down a job. you know, it could have been a combination of things. I really don't know. But at that point, I was just so upset with what had happened over the past few years and how unstable her life had become and the effect it had on Adrian that I just told my mother, if you give her up now, I'm not giving her back. I will fight you. And that is what eventually happened. We ended up going to court and I sued for legal custody and I won.
So what did you feel in that moment when your mom said that she didn't want to be a mother anymore?
I wasn't surprised because I knew I would always get custody of Adrian, but I thought she was going to be a little bit older. So that part was hard. I was 22. Adrian was 8. I didn't have a steady job yet. I had a horrible alcoholic boyfriend, you know, so I wasn't very together yet myself, but taking responsibility for her really helped me get my life in order. Yeah. You know, a lot of people say that I saved Adrian from our mother, but man, she really saved me.
Yeah.
Because she made me get my priorities straight.
You were forced to get your shit together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I really was.
And what did you do, like, after that? How did she move to Los Angeles, or, like, what
happened? Well, she had been visiting for Christmas, and she just didn't go back.
Yeah.
She didn't go back. Yeah.
What did you do? Like, what, now you have to get a job and become serious,
right? It was hard. I mean, I had so many jobs, man. I can't count, Peter, how many jobs I had. But eventually, what I did to be on her schedule was I became a teacher to be on her schedule. So I was a substitute teacher. I was also a PE teacher. I mean, I just took all kinds of teaching jobs that allowed me the flexibility to be on her schedule and to drop her off just at school, to pick her up. And that's what I did through my 20s. And I also was pursuing an acting career. So having that flexibility with teaching also allowed me to do that.
I'm just thinking, like, there you are, 22 years old, life ahead of you, and now everything changes, right? Because now you're a mom to your little sister, and your dreams is not a priority anymore, in a way, right? How did that feel for you?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see it that way. I mean,
how did you see it?
She was my priority. I mean, she was my priority. I didn't really feel like I was sacrificing one for the other. I did not understand what a big deal it was until my goddaughter turned 22 a few years ago. And then I went, oh, I get it now. Because she's never taken care of herself, like, at all. And she couldn't take care of an 8-year-old. There's no way. I just didn't understand why it was a big deal. And mind you, I was the only person of my age group who had a kid.
Yeah.
But my friends, just the ones who stuck around, got used to it.
Yeah. And can you just talk us through, like, when did you get the news that she was sick?
Well, I mean, you know, we went through life, and after going through a really, really tough time in middle school where Adrian became suicidal, was severely depressed, finally we got our great therapist, and I mean, just like a horrible, horrible time. Yeah. She was really coming into her own in high school, do you know what I mean? Like, she had really, she'd figured out who she was, and she liked herself.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful thing to see. And 3 weeks before the end of her freshman year of high school, I came home from teaching, and she was going to school from 7 to 2, and I was teaching from 8 to 3. It was just a slightly different schedule. And I came home and found her in the living room, curled up in a fetal position, crying. And this was a kid who never cried about anything. And she was just clutching her side and saying, "Sissy, I can't breathe. I can't breathe." The day before, she was fine, absolutely fine, and super active. And so we went to her pediatrician, and he thought we were there because 2 weeks before she had hurt her shoulder. And she was like, "Oh, no, 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 it's not my shoulder, it's this pain. And when he took a look at her abdomen, it was bloated, and he didn't like what he saw. So he sent us to the local ER in Burbank, California, for those listeners. And they said, well, we're going to do a CAT scan. Now, at this point, they asked Adrian what she had been doing and all this stuff, and music lovers will appreciate this. So she had gone to Coachella a few weeks before, and she had been right up front pressed against these metal bars. And so they were afraid of internal bleeding just because of what she had described, where the pain was, that sort of thing. And so as she's being wheeled in for her CAT scan, to give you an idea of her sense of humor, she said, hey, Sissy, watch it be cancer. And I said, oh, bite your tongue. And we both started laughing, you know. So she's wheeled in. She comes out. They finally gave her something for the pain. We're hanging out. And the ER doctor comes in, and I knew it was bad because he did not look at her. He would not look at her. And you know that expression when the color drains out of your face? Yeah. That's what he looked like. I just knew it was bad. And he said, she has tumors in her liver and lungs. We are not equipped to handle this situation. We've arranged for a transfer to Children's Hospital. I'm so sorry. And he walked out. That was it. And we burst into tears at the same time. And I was still crying. And then she said, I was just kidding. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, I was just kidding when I said, watch it be cancer. And then we both started laughing again. because the hospital we went to did not treat pediatric patients. So that night, we went to Children's Hospital, Los Angeles. 2 days later, a biopsy confirmed that it was liver cancer that had spread to her lungs. Yeah.
So what happened after that?
She, from the day she felt pain, a week later, she was starting her first round of chemo. She never went back to school. They kept trying to go through all these different decisions with school, right? Does she do the last 3 weeks of school? Does she, whatever. Anyway, they finally decided that since she was a straight-A student with a 4.0, that it was okay if she didn't finish the last 3 weeks of school. So I didn't go back to work. I was teaching. I didn't go back to work. That was my last day of work. That was her last day of school. And I think you can ask pretty much any cancer patient or caregiver. I feel like the world operates in shades of gray, but that moment when you hear the word cancer, it's a very black and white moment, and it kind of defines things because there's always before cancer and after cancer. And that moment is a very black and white moment in my life. Wednesday, May 16th, 2001, about 9 p.m. when we got that news, because that changed our lives forever. So.
Yeah. You know, I meet many people and share their journeys, and I'm always fascinated by how life happens, mm-hmm. and that we make all these plans and...
yeah, right.
You know, we in a way... We make all these plans how life is going to be, and I'm all for that, but then things happen mm-hmm. that we can't even like think of, right?
Right.
And we don't want to think about it. Like how does that change us as human beings? Like how should we live? Should we have goals and dreams, or should we just be in the present? Like what's your opinion about that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it's very important to have goals and dreams. Yeah. It's very important, but, and I don't know that you can really, you know, do this until something happens, but when something like that happens, I mean, it is a slap in the face or a punch in the gut. You are forced to live in the present.
Yeah.
I find really, for the most part, that people, it's not that they're not able to plan, it's that they live in the past, right?
Yeah.
They've got stuff from their past either they can't forgive themselves for, or they regret, or they're ashamed about, or blah, 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 blah. You cannot change the past, period. I can't change whatever I did yesterday. All you can do is focus on today and tomorrow.
That's hard though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, I will say one thing a cancer diagnosis does is it forces you to embrace change, which I feel like deep down is everyone's fear. I think any fear you have can come down to a fear of change of some kind. But with cancer, your life is constantly changing and you're having to adapt and you're forced to. I mean, you have, and you lose a lot of control. You lose control of your body. You lose control of your time. I mean, there's just so many decisions that are taken out of your hands.
Yeah.
Although I encourage patients and caregivers to take as many decisions back as they can, but there are a lot of things that are just taken out of your hands and you have to give up, and you have to become more flexible. And it's not easy. And it does, however, make it easier to let go of the past. Because if you're living in the present all the time, you really don't have time to think about that stuff that was bothering you.
That's true. And I heard a quote. I went to a lecture a couple of weeks ago, and I heard a quote, and they said, if you're in your head, you're dead. And
I love it.
I love that quote because sometimes it's true, right? Because when you start thinking about things, it's a downward spiral, especially if you're in a negative part in your life or you're feeling sad.
Yeah.
And the cure, supposedly, is to go out and serve and do something, just like you did, be out there and helping someone else, because then you don't have time to think about that someone cut you off in traffic, or that that someone cursed at you, or that you made a mistake. You know, that's part of life. We're not perfect, right? What did your sister teach you during these times, like when she was going through this, but somewhere found that strength to at least have those positive moments and go after it? What did that teach you, and what could that teach us?
Oh God, you're gonna make me cry. You know, she really taught me to embrace change and to lean into it, because I don't know who said this. There are like 5 different people attributed to some version of this quote, but courage is not lack of fear. Courage is having fear and moving forward anyway, because the fear may never go away, and you just have to lean into it. And that is what she did. And gosh, man, in the 147 days she was sick, she had so much courage and dignity and grace, and above all, humor. She maintained her sense of humor. And so I work every single day to live my life that way. And when I have my moments, I kind of check myself. And one thing I say, I actually said this to a family member last week. You know, it's okay to have a pity party. It's okay to have a bad day or whatever. It's fine. But man, don't overstay your welcome at the pity party. Yeah. Okay? Don't. Because it doesn't serve anyone, and it certainly doesn't help you, because you're just sitting there wallowing. That's not taking action. Yeah. That's not changing anything. That's not making things better.
Yeah.
And if you're just wallowing, you know, in this little pool of self-pity, you're going to find out you're going to end up alone all by yourself, because people are going to leave.
Yeah. I think you're right. And I was watching the sunset the other day, amazing sunset. I think it was Friday or Saturday. And I'm a little bit sad because one of my best friend's dad passed away last week. And I'm just going there thinking about my life and, you know, feeling a little bit sorry for myself. And I see this young woman. I've seen her before.
Mm-hmm.
She's homeless, and I can only imagine what she's going through on a day-to-day basis. And she took that time right at the beach. She planted a flower on the sunset. And I was so amazed about I want to know what she was thinking that moment, because people say not every day is good, but there's something good in every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like she had that moment that little moment of hope. And I wanna talk about that, because people that are listening right now, they might not be in the position they are in their life. They might be going through grief. They might be sick or have a family member that's sick. But there are small moments every day that are beautiful. Yes. We just need to open up ourselves to them. And I don't think it is... I meet a lot of people that want a lot, right? You want to create this amazing business. You want to become a world medalist. You want to go to the moon. Like crazy mm-hmm. things. And I think that is great. But you, as a human being, we have to distinguish striving and content. Like being happy and striving, that's okay. You can be happy in the situation you are, or like be grateful and still strive. Mm-hmm. Because I see some people, they think, I can't, if I'm happy now, that means that I'm not gonna go for it in a way.
You need to be happy in order to achieve it.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to be.
So what do you want to say to those people?
Well, I think what you touched on about gratitude is really important. And so I always encourage people, especially in my coaching business, which I'm sort of winding down, but in my coaching business, I encourage people to do some sort of gratitude journal every day and to do it in a way that works for them. So whether it's write it down, whether it's say it aloud, for me, it's actually an app, which I never thought I would say, but it is. And do it in the morning if that works for you, do it at night. For me, I like to, every night before I go to bed, I open up my gratitude app and I just write one thing I'm grateful for that day. Sometimes it's two or three things, but I only ask one thing of myself. Yeah. Most of the time, it's easy to come up with more than one thing. Every now and then, maybe like a few times a year, it's really hard. So I'll just put in, I'm grateful I'm alive, whatever. But, and I've seen people really appreciate how valuable that is. You know, there's some resistance at first, but they really start to get into it. And it's just important to, like I said, do it in a way that makes sense to you.
I think so too, and it changes everything when you start looking out and see what you really have, right? Unless it's so easy to get caught up in thinking about what you don't have.
Yes, it is.
But I mean, even like I think about it, even that homeless girl, who knows, like no one dreams about being homeless, you know?
Right.
That's not her dream, and she ended up here somehow, and she's... I think she's gonna get out of that situation, but she saw that moment, like that small little moment with the flower, maybe made her day, you know? Yeah, so okay. I have one last question,
and
then we're gonna go after the
I've been the studying, gift. So it's gonna be the quote, or it's gonna be...
It's not gonna be the quote today. One thing that I would like you to share with our audience is, if they can do one thing to right after this podcast to get a little bit closer to what they're dreaming about and what they want to do, what is the first step they can take after listening to this?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this one. Oh gosh. I feel like I've said everything I would say about that one thing.
Could be two things or one.
Just stop. And I hate to sound negative because this is negative, but stop worrying about what other people think. I know there's probably a way more eloquent way to say that. Look up a Eleanor Roosevelt quote or something.
Say, stop fucking worrying.
Yeah. But that too, right? That is actually, have you ever seen, there's a great study of elderly people, like people who've lived over the age of 85 or 90, and they did this big study, and the single biggest thing that people regretted the most was worrying too much.
Yeah.
Like there were all these other things. It was worry, like just don't do it. Like it's a waste of time. No, it's just like, don't worry about what other people think. It doesn't matter. First of all, they're probably not worrying so much about you. They're worrying about themselves. But also, like, who cares? Who cares? I can give a recent example. So almost 5 years ago, I made a decision to leave Los Angeles. And it seemed very sudden to most people, but the truth is I had been unhappy in LA for several years for a lot of different reasons. And I wanted to leave, but I was married at the time, so I felt like I should stay. But I was very unhappy, and I think I was making people around me unhappy, right? And one day, I just was like, I need to go. And I had no plan. I had no idea where I was going to go. But once I made that decision to just go, I was like, whoa, okay. And I was still scared. There was still the fear. And then I, you know, sort of came up with a kind of plan. But again, there was really no plan in place. And I ended up deciding to move to Birmingham, Alabama. I have the most family in the Southeast. That's where I was raised. My sister was actually born in Birmingham. I kind of know the city. And it seemed like a really good place to start over. And I joke now with people that if I had known how well it was going to turn out, I would have driven faster. You know, it was like the best thing for me. And just that 4-day drive across country too was so good for me by myself. Well, me and my cat. And it was just so good for me. I got so much thinking done. I can't think of one person who thought it was a good idea. Yeah. And maybe for the first time in a long time, I shut everybody else out. And I just was like, don't listen to anyone. Like, this is your decision. I don't care what people think. And I didn't. I didn't listen to anybody. I didn't. I just, this is what you need to do. And worst case scenario, you move back. That's what's the worst thing that can happen.
I love that. Stop worrying about other people. And before we finish up, you had a little gift for us. So please do share.
Oh, yes. So a gift for your listeners. So during this phase with Cancer University, as we're going into a pilot program, we want to give away free lifetime memberships to Cancer U. So if you are listening and you are a newly diagnosed cancer patient with any type of cancer, or a caregiver of a newly diagnosed cancer patient, and you live in the United States or you speak English, because right now we only have our courses in English, you can go to cancer.university, and that's the extension, cancer.university, and look for the button that says apply now, and that will forward you to our membership website, so don't be thrown off by that. And then again, just look for the buttons, big green buttons that say apply now, fill out the membership, and then it says, you know, how would you like to pay? You're going to click, I have a coupon code. And your coupon code in all caps is I love success. So I'm not going to spell that out because I'm going to assume people know how to spell. So just put I love success in all caps, and that will waive any membership fee, and you have a free lifetime membership to Cancer University.
Thank you so much. We're going to share that link so you can just press the link and move forward.
Yep.
It's going to make it a lot easier.
Yes.
Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for sharing and thank you for everything you do. You know, you know that this matters. I know when you go after something and like you're doing this to honor your daughter, your sister, but just know that we got your back and we love what you do truly. And there's many people that do that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And if you want to learn more about the book, just go to betteroffbald.com.
Yeah. We're going to share a link to that as well. So you can just click that and start reading and learning more. And I'm so grateful to all of you that stuck with us and listened the full episode. What we're trying to do here at I Love Success is to share people's journeys, to inspire you to create a full life, a life that you are proud of. And that's why we're giving all this away for free. The only thing we ask is that you take your life serious enough to do something with it, because you have the potential. If you need more of these amazing conversations, go to ilovesuccess.co. I give away a couple of chapters of my book, please share this with someone that needs to hear this. Give us a review. That's how we can grow and help more people. Thank you so much, and talk to you soon.